But on this Sunday, I usually like to start out the year by focusing on a theme that I'm going to kind of try to encourage throughout the year, the focus that we have, because we emphasize a theme throughout the year, as you know, and we have for the last, seven, 8 years, that helps us in fulfilling our purpose. It's nothing strange, nothing new. It's all scriptural, but they should be normal parts of a believer's life. A theme that we set up for a year isn't something that ends next year. It's one that continues in a believer's life for our growth. Some of what we've done in 2017, our theme was dive in. If you remember that when we started doing the themes, it means being serious and committed to studying God's Word in that year. And man, it was neat to watch. In 2018, we went beyond words. That was about applying God's word to our everyday lives. In 2019, the theme was pour out. That was to invest in the lives of others. In 2020, it was titled Bent Knee. It was being persistent and consistent in our prayer life. In 2021, it was hidden in the heart. And the challenge was memorizing scripture together. In 2022, it was beautifully unified. It's about being united and fulfilling our God-given purpose. In 2023, it was intimate prayer. It was deepening our prayers and our service to one another. Last year, as you may remember, it was one more. That our goal was to reach one more for Christ, to build one more in God's Word. And this year, as you can see, it's growing together. Growing together. Most goals we try to attain are usually better with like-minded people. People that have the same purpose, the same pursuit. Because we need a push sometimes, don't we? Anybody else out there need a push sometimes in your goals, in your purpose, in your pursuit? And someone that also wants you to push them. Maybe working out. You know, some of y'all do that weird thing of working out. Some of y'all meet early in the morning at the gym down here to work out together. Good. But you know that when you have someone to do it with you, they'll help push you. And if you lift weights, there's a thing called a spotter. Someone is there to catch it in case you can't lift it, if it's too much for you. Which is very important to have a spotter, not only to keep from injuring yourself, but it gives you the confidence that you can push a little bit harder and add a little bit more weight, because if you have trouble, he's there for you, right? So you have that partner, someone that's like-minded, wants the same goals. Sometimes it's just simple things, like working on a car. Josiah and I got to go out and work on his van a while back, and I'm not going to say which one of us, but one of us got underneath the car. Yeah, because I didn't lift the car. It just got under the car. The other one could hand the tools so he didn't have to keep getting up and down. You know, just simple support, simple help. You were afraid I was going to give bad stories, weren't you, when I brought up your name? He's like, oh, no. Is he going to tell about? No, I didn't. See, growing spiritually is not supposed to be something we do alone. God has given us the church. He has blessed us with this church. I love the church that he has placed me in. I thank God for you. And a family is given to you. It's the reason that God gave us the church, is so that we can worship together. So that we can pray together. We can study God's word together. We can be accountable one to another. We can serve together. We should grow together. And that's our desire as we move forward, is to continue this growth. This is what we should do regularly. If you haven't opened up Colossians 3, I'm about there. There's one verse in this chapter I want to look at today as Paul is speaking to believers at the church of Colossae. That's why it's the book. It's a letter to the church of Colossae, we call Colossians, telling these young believers what to kill in their lives. In this very chapter, he tells them to kill earthly things, sins that Christ died for, those sins that the unbeliever will pay for and be punished for. He tells young believers what to put off in their lives. It's attitudes and areas that don't represent Christ. He tells young believers what to put on in verse 10 through 12. That's the new man that Christ has made that represents him, the ambassador for Christ. He tells the believer to love and to forgive God's people like Christ did. And then in verse 16, look what he says. That's our verse for today. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Father, we love you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your work. We thank you for your salvation and that you are worthy of our worship and our praise. Lord, I ask that your word would speak to us today, that your spirit would touch our hearts, soften our hearts, bring a joy from walking with you, that we'd have a desire to instill that joy in one another. Lord, I ask that you have your way in each one of our lives. Let us grow together, Lord. Let us be challenged together. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. As we look at this verse, the first thing it speaks of is that we personally must grow. As an individual, you must grow. When you're born as an infant, you should mature. There's many steps in our maturity process. You start out as a little infant. You get to the toddler stage where you drive your parents crazy. Yeah? Oh, there you go. Amen times how many? Yeah. And you go from being the toddler to the child. And then a preteen. And then a teen. And that's when you finish your parents off, yeah? Yeah, you think it's tough now, brother. Mm-hmm. Give it 10 more years. And you go from being a teen to a young adult, and a senior, right? And when that growth or the maturing stops in our life and the growing is complete, our life on earth is done. When we move to our eternal home, right? Growth is a natural process of our physical life. In our spiritual lives, our relationship with God should never stop growing. Your relationship with Christ, your relationship with God Himself should never stop growing. In Ephesians, he compares it to marriage. Your marriage and the intimacy with your spouse should not ever end. It should never end. Our relationship with God starts to deteriorate when we stop growing, just like marriage is the same, that when we become complacent, when we become expectant of the other, that they will do this, I'm just used to it, it's what they're supposed to do. When we become satisfied with where we're at, and we stop focusing, stop nurturing our marriage, what happens? Problems take over. And your marriage starts to deteriorate and go backwards. In our walk with Christ, when we become complacent and we stop pursuing Him, stop being intimate with Him, and we start acting out of religion instead of love for God. You catch that? We start acting out of religion, out of habit, out of what I'm supposed to do, what I'm expected to do, what I have to do, rather than doing it because I love the Lord. My relationship with Him starts to deteriorate. It starts falling apart. When we stop focusing on honoring Him and obeying Him because we love Him, we start acting out of emotions. out of my own wisdom. Notice the beginning of the verse in verse 16. Let the word of Christ, what does it say? Dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Notice here that there, what's going to cause the growth in your walk with Him? What's going to cause growth in your spiritual walk? The word of Christ, we might know it as the word of God. Some would say it's more specifically here, teaching the teachings of Jesus, the Christ. You know, but that's what brings the growth, is coming to know His word. And notice the depth of the relationship He says to have with His word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. What does it mean to dwell in something? To live in? To make its place in? Well, the word of God is to dwell in you. It means to live within you. It should be a part of your life, because that is your walk with Christ. That is your walk with God. That is how you get to know Him intimately. It's through His word. And He says, when it dwells in you, I want it to dwell in you. How did you notice there? Did you notice how it's supposed to dwell in you? Richly. Richly. Abundantly. Overflowing. In other words, not just on Sunday morning when pastor's preaching. But I want you to be so intimate with God and into His word that His word is intimately in you. It dwells in you richly, so much so that it pours out of you. There should be a love to know Him through His word. Remember, He compares it to marriage. When you love your spouse and grow intimately, there needs to be conversation. There needs to be talk, enjoyment of being together. We should enjoy His word. It should be richly within us. We should listen to what He has to say and return conversation through prayer. And what happens when it dwells in you richly, He tells us there, it gives you wisdom. Wisdom. Now remember, wisdom is different than knowledge. Knowledge is to know. Wisdom is to apply. You may know a whole lot of stuff and still be a fool. You may know a whole lot of scripture and still be a fool. You may be able to quote the whole Bible and still be a fool. Because if you have not applied it to your life, if you have not let it take control in you and work in you richly, you are not wise. Wisdom is to let the Word of God take control and guide our acts, guide our words. Means to change you, transform you, to lead you. If you remember back in the Old Testament when Moses died and the leader that takes over for him had been second in command to him. He had been in training for many years. His name was Joshua. And when he worried because of this big task of leading the Israelites, you know what he was told? Joshua 1:8 says this, "This book of the law shall not depart of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." When he was worried about how he was going to lead and move forward, what did God tell him? Don't let the word of God leave you. It should be within you. It should dwell in you. It should be a part of you. From the beginning of the Old Testament to closing of the New Testament, God's word is what should fill our hearts. God's word is what should guide our lives. How important is this book to you? It needs to be, if you're a child of God and you want intimacy with Him. See, he tells us in Joshua 1:8, what happens when you allow this book to dwell in you richly. when you allow the Word of God to control and guide you and give you the wisdom, he says, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have great success. You see, when you're obedient to God's Word, he will make you successful. I once heard a man say, God does not demand success, he gives success. Why? Because our purpose is not to be rich. Our purpose is not to be famous. When we become child of God, pursuing the will of God, working for God, we are successful when we fulfill the plan of God. And God promises when you are submitting to his word, when it guides your life, when you love the intimacy with his word, he says, I promise you, then you will be prosperous and you will have good success. But not until then. You can be richest guy in the world. If you're not guided by God's word, you're not ready to look him in the eyes. You can't be successful. You may have a whole lot of cute little quotes that you know how to sound spiritual, but when you're not the word of God, it doesn't dwell in you richly. You know what? You ain't successful. It's when you know God's word and you apply it to your life and you let him guide you and you love the intimacy with him, he says, I'll give you success. See, our priority is to know God's word. Not athletes' names. Oh, guys could name off everybody in the league. And that's okay. Sports aren't a bad thing. They're not evil. There's evil when they take over what God has called us to. He's not called us to politics. Now, we need to be salt and light in our governance. I'm grateful for men that love the Lord and keep the God as priority of their life, and they go and represent Christ in a government position. But our priority is to be ambassadors for Christ, to know what he wants. The very words of Jesus is, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is greater than this world. Yeah, we should be involved in the governance. We should vote. And we should promote his kingdom within our governance. We're not called in those wise tales and fables. Be careful following things passed down by men. Nice stories. Greek philosophy. I remember studying the Greek gods when I was in high school, and I thought, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Oh, my goodness. Oh, no. Zeus, I don't know. Some guy had some big toe is all I remember. I can't remember which god that was. I just know it was just weird. And you can easily get caught up on what things that's passed down by men and promised by men. Those things change. Compare our history books today from school to history books from 50 years ago. Let me tell you, things that are passed down by men change according to what they want you to hear. But you know, the Word of God is preserved in heaven, he tells us. The Word of God cannot be changed. We're not called to follow philosophy. Go to Oprah Winfrey, my hero, Dr. Phil. They can't lead you spiritually. Well, they may, but they're not going to lead you into God's will, into God's plan, into God's success, into God's peace. Be careful with all those psychology and self-help books. See, your Creator is the one that knows you. He knows your purpose. His is the way that will bring prosperity to your life to fulfill your purpose. So the Creator tells us there in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. When we have God's word, but it don't dwell in us richly, we only give it the parts of us we want. We let it stay in our head, but not transform our lives, right? We have the knowledge in my head, but do I really want it to control me? Do I want to submit to it? We're not letting it be in us richly. And once we let the Holy Spirit of God's word transform us, then God will use us and give us great success. But if we don't let the Word of God transform us, We're not letting it dwell in us richly. See, anytime we submit to God's word, there's always a second step, it seems like. There's always a second step. The second step after you're intimate with God and his word, the second step is always to invest in others. What does it tell you? Take the beam out of your own eye and then what? If you're to take the beam out of your own eye, take the sin out of your own life, then what are you supposed to do? Help someone else take the splinter out of theirs, right? Right? See, first, I let God do a work in me, and then I let him work through me to help someone else. You remember when he tells us the greatest command of all, love the Lord thy God with all. And the second is like unto it, what? Love thy neighbor as thyself. You see, let God work in you and be intimate with God so that you can let him work through you to touch others. You remember what he tells us after you've accepted the gospel of Christ, you become a follower of Christ, you picked up the cross of Christ. Then he tells you what? Go ye therefore to all nations. Then you're supposed to go and give that gospel to the whole world. You see, why does he want to work within us? Why does he transform us? Why do we let the word of God dwell in us? So we can then invest in others. Always let God's word work in you so that he can be used to help others. Look at Colossians 3 again, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The second half of this tells you to build others. See, as we learn God's word and apply it, we have a responsibility to pass it on. Believer, you're like a sponge. You're supposed to absorb God's word so that sponge is useful in helping elsewhere. Not just to hold on to it, not to fill it up. Scripture says, knowledge puffeth up. When all you want to do is take in God's word for knowledge so I know it, he says, all it does is make you proud. And we know Scripture tells us, pride cometh before the fall, before destruction. But we take in the word of God so he can transform us, so we can invest in the life of others. We are responsible to pass on what God has taught us through his word. We're not to keep it to ourselves. The result of having the word of Christ dwelling in us, the result of having the wisdom that the word of God gives us is verse 16, about halfway through, it says, teaching and admonishing one another. Teaching and admonishing one another. It's pretty clear, isn't it? I didn't fill you up so you feel special. I filled you up so you can be useful. You can touch the life of others. Teaching means to impart that knowledge, to give what I have, and I can't give if I don't first possess, right? To teach would be to invest in you what was first invested in me. It's to help you understand the truth God has given to us. That's to teach. He tells us to teach one another. Who are you investing in? Now, not your philosophy, not your opinion, not your thoughts, not your feelings, but the word of God that dwells in you. How are you investing that into someone else with love? That doesn't mean you have to teach a Sunday school. You know where you're supposed to start? Parent, you're supposed to start at home. You're supposed to start with those around you, nearest to you, the conversations that you have, the friends you have. It should start with your life being a picture of holiness and purity and love for God. Teaching is to impart what I have learned from God. And it says admonish. That's a harder one. Admonish is kind of the negative side. It means to warn. It's not the fun part. It's where people might get upset. Who are you to call it sin? Well, I'm just the messenger telling you what the Lord called it. It's to warn. It's to warn others of bad actions. It's to explain sin and why it hurts. It's to push people into the right direction, to provoke them to follow truth. We are called to teach and admonishing. And this is to teach the good and the bad. And as I said to parents, this starts at home. Teaching God's word should be happening from the parents. That starts way back in Deuteronomy, talking to the Jews. That everything about your home should be about God's word. It says to write it on your walls and on your doorposts. Write it on your hands and on your forehead. Deuteronomy chapter 6, check it out for yourself. It starts at home. Well, why do we have church? To reinforce what has already started at home. So that we can come together as a body to celebrate, to be challenged together, to hold each other accountable, to encourage one another, to build, you with me? What's already happening at home. If you aren't trying to raise your kid in God's word at home, I promise you 1 hour at church on Sunday isn't going to change their heart, but by the grace of God. God has made you the parent. Grandparents, you're to be the support of that. Aunts, uncles, you have the privilege to invest as well. But the main priority is to the parents. And their parents are called to bring them to church. Why? So that together we can grow. We can strengthen. At church, we reinforce what's going on at home. We're thankful for those who take the time to study and rightly divide God's word. For parents that do it at home so they can teach their kids. We have men that step up when I'm gone and teach and preach here at church. We have men who teach our teens downstairs, take time to study and prepare to invest in actually what are many already leadership in our church. Could be our future pastors, song leaders, deacons, missionaries. You don't know who you're investing in. We have men and ladies that work in the junior church. Some are down there right now. Why? So that the kids are quiet and we can have service up here without disturbing? No! Some of y'all are like, amen anyway. No, we do that so that they can be taught at their level. That's why sometimes they're going to be sitting right in here. I love it when the kids stay in here on Sundays. You know the noise don't bother me. It gives a parent opportunity to teach kids why we're in church and why we be quiet and why we respect and how we act. And you know what? They act up. There ain't nobody in here saying, no, I wish they weren't in here. We're saying, amen, they brought them to church. We're glad they're here. We're glad you're here. You know what? Your kid spills something on the floor. Whoop-de-doo! There's been worse on this floor, I promise. And now you're looking around like, oh, no, this is new carpet, only a year old. The other carpet, I couldn't speak for. It was, when we pulled it up, never mind. And understand, we are thankful for your investing. We're thankful for those that work with the kids. We have ladies that teach our Sunday school classes that are in our nurseries. Some, every week, they're teaching kids. Why? To teach little truths, plant little seeds. Why? So that at home, that continues. That continues. I challenge you every week, go home and ask, what did you guys learn in Sunday school? The truth is, you may learn something. I'm not putting you down. I'm just saying sometimes these kids catch more than you and I do. To challenge and learn. All these places have the purpose of helping one another, helping you and I. The reason we preach on Sunday morning, we teach on Sunday in Sunday school, we gather on Wednesday evening, dive in God's word, is to help one another, what does it say there? Letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly. That's why we meet and get into God's word together, is to help provoke one another in obedience to God's word. And what is the result when we let God's word dwell in us richly? When we start to teach one another, we start growing together, we start to do this with a great attitude, with a great spirit. We get excited about God's word. That's right there in verse 16. Look at the end of verse 16. Teaching and admonishing one another. How? How? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The spirit of growth should cause psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sometimes growth hurts, doesn't it? Sometimes there's pain. When it's a growing pain, though, we can endure. We can move through. When a pain has a purpose to help grow, most kids, when they start to hurt, and you say, that's your growing pain, you know what they go? I'm growing. Yeah? I'm getting stronger. You remember? Yeah, I think I can feel it, Dad. Mine was here. A lot of growing pain. Ethan, don't laugh at that, bud. That hurts my feelings, brother. But right, growing pain has a positive outcome to where we can even celebrate that together afterwards. But you see what the celebration looks like? Psalms. Psalms is a call out to God, which we see in Scripture. And it's a psalms that have been taken and put music to and sang. And the book of Psalms that we know, there's 150 psalms compiled by a king named David. They weren't all written by David, as many believe. A lot of them were, but they were compiled by him. There were songs that praised God. They called out to him for help. There's scriptures that are placed to that music declaring who God is and what he's done, and they called out for him, his salvation. He says hymns. Hymns are the singing of God's truths. They're not always directly from Scripture, but they're always about the Scriptures. They're teaching from Scriptures. These are often teaching opportunities of doctrinal truth. How many times can you grab out the hymnal and explain to your kid the words in a hymn? Oh, victory in Jesus. You know why there's victory in Jesus? Because his blood washed away my sins. And it defeated Satan who wanted to kill me. We can go through all those hymns, and there's a truth in them. The hymns are important. Many have erased the hymn book, wanting to just go to new praise songs. There's nothing wrong with new songs. But we can't forget these deep truths that we have. And then he goes on to spiritual songs. Spiritual songs can be a wide range of things because they're simply songs to declare your praise to God. Sometimes spiritual songs or a song written from your testimony of what God has done for you. It's just declaring God's goodness and maybe certain characteristics of his want to be focused on. It's a declaration of his love and goodness. But you see how each one of these steps is an excitement of God's word dwelling in us richly and changing and transforming us. But if you notice, when we let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, God will use us to touch one another, and together we're going to have the joy to the end of verse 16. Look at the end. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. When we are full of the word of God and we let him work in and through us, it changes our heart to one of grace, of love, of joy. And where does this begin? It begins with me wanting to grow. Letting God's word take over my life. Letting me be used by God to touch someone else. And this is going to give the needed joy to sing unto the Lord together. Remember, we don't meet on Sunday morning just to sing some songs and move on. We hope it's an outpouring of our heart of what has gone on throughout the week. And sometimes that's real hard, isn't it? Sometimes it's been a bad week, or I've been in a fight with my wife on the way to church, and I can say that easily because I never ride to church with my wife. She don't want to get here 2 hours before church starts. But you know what I mean. And then we walk in and we're supposed to have a smile on our face. We're supposed to have a Bible in our arm. We're supposed to sing, Jesus loves me. Sometimes my time at church needs to start with my heart broken before the Lord in prayer. Lord, my spirit is wrong. Help me worship right. Help me let the Word of God dwell in me richly right now and take over. Let me pour out in this praise time, in this worship time, in these hymns, my true excitement of walking with you. Because that's what happens when we get together and we can challenge each other, is that we can worship together. And as you see, the focus of this year seems pretty simple. Growing together. It means we're going to need to be invested in God's Word. It means, break it down, you're going to need to be invested in God's Word. That you're going to want to study God's Word. You're going to want to take advantage of opportunities when a church gathers to study God's Word. You're going to have to take serious the reading and the studying and the gathering of His church so that we can learn together and that we can let that pour out to challenge one another. Each month in your bulletin, there will be a designated book to read through. To add to your Bible reading, it's not going to be a bunch, but one book for a full month. And if you can get done with it, read it a couple times. Promise you, you read it two or three times in a month, and you're going to get more out of it each time than you did the first time. And we can meditate together on the same passages, and we can share what we have learned and been challenged and encouraged. In Sunday school, I'll be asking, what did you gather from your reading this week? And maybe you can share. We can share how we have personalized God's Word. And then we can help one another learn and be challenged. Some of the books and letters are going to be real short, so easy to repeat. Some will be longer. But this way we're together, we're letting God's Word dwell in us, and we're encouraging each other in God's Word. That makes sense? That together we're reading through the same passages through the same month. And we let the Holy Spirit use that in our life. You imagine that we have 50, 60 of us reading together the same passages. The Holy Spirit's waking us up to new areas all at the same time while God can do. So this month we're going to start today with the book of John. The Gospel of John. There's only 21 chapters in it. We've got more than 21 days left in a month. You read one chapter a day and you're right there. But I promise you, the book of John is one of those you start to read and you don't stop after one chapter. You're going to learn who Christ is. You're going to learn about His person. And we can sing to the Lord with joy as we study together. And I'll ask you, if you'll commit to doing this with the church, I had a little sign up here somewhere. We'll find it, but yeah, it's right here. We'll have it on this table after Lord's Supper. If you'll sign it just to make a commitment. Say, I want to be a part of this. We're not going to post it up for everybody to see and, oh, look, my name is up there. No, but it's you letting the church know, I want to grow with you. That's why the signature is there. That's all it is. It also reminds you, listen, I made a commitment to this. And each month we'll have a different book to read through. And by the end of the year, we've read through 12 books of Scripture together. And we ask God that He use it, dwell in us richly, so that He can use me to invest in someone else's life. And so that's a challenge this year. You want to grow together? I hope you're not being complacent. Well, I'm good with coming on Sunday mornings. That's about it. No, I hope you're like, I need to take that next step in my walk. I need to get more personal with Christ. Maybe there's someone here that never called upon the name of Jesus for salvation. You never had a time that you recognize your sinfulness separates you from God for all eternity. And there's going to be a day that He's going to say, depart from me, you doer of iniquity. He will cast you into the pit of hell, which will one day be cast into the lake of fire. or you humble yourself before a Savior and you call upon Him for salvation. And He starts to use you and grow you. And the joy comes from my relationship with Him, not in this attempt to get all the worldly goods. Let each one of us not be complacent or satisfied. Let's attain to reach a little bit closer to Christ this year. Let's grow a little closer to Him today and tomorrow. Will you stand with me? We're closing a song that speaks very much of the consequences of us growing in the Word together. If you want the hymnal, it's number 304. There'll be our words behind me, Sweet, Sweet Spirit.